Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Want Sexual Fantasies by Anonymous is a nonfiction anthology curated and introduced by Gillian Anderson. Drawing on anonymous submissions from hundreds of self-identifying women around the world, it presents a selected collection of letters about fantasy, desire, apprehension, intimacy, shame, pleasure, and freedom. The book is explicitly inspired by Nancy Friday's My Secret Garden, while addressing a contemporary environment in which sexual expression may be highly visible. Yet private desire can remain difficult to articulate. Anderson includes essays that frame the collection, but the central form is the anonymous first-person confession rather than a clinical study, advice manual, or conventional memoir. Its purpose is not to prescribe what women should want, nor to treat fantasies as direct statements of intended behavior. Instead, it creates a protected space in which a wide range of inner experiences can be voiced. By placing tender, romantic, unconventional, relational, and power-oriented fantasies alongside one another, Want examines the diversity and emotional complexity of female sexual imagination. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anonymity functions as the condition for candor. The defining device in Want is anonymity. The contributors can describe desires, fears, and contradictions without attaching them to a public identity, reputation, relationship, workplace, or family role. That condition matters because discussions of women's sexuality are often shaped by expectations to appear respectable, desirable, faithful, restrained, or consistently confident. The letters suggest that private fantasies is not easily reduced to any one of those categories. A person may imagine tenderness and intensity, safety and risk, familiar partners and strangers, or attention and disappearance. The anthology, therefore, treats anonymity not as a novelty, but as a method for revealing material that ordinary social conversation filters out. It also changes how readers should interpret the texts. These accounts are expressions of an interior world, not declarations of conduct, consent to real-life acts, or universal evidence about women. The distinction is essential fantasies can test possibilities, process emotional needs, or suspend practical consequences. Anderson's curatorial premise gives these voices a collective setting, without requiring them to become representative samples. The result is a record of disclosure that makes silence itself visible. Readers encounter not one definitive female perspective, but many accounts that could coexist precisely because no contributor must defend a coherent public persona. Secondly, the collection rejects a single model of female desire. Want gains much of its force from variety. The selected letters range across different cultural backgrounds, life experiences, relationship situations, genders of desired partners, and degrees of sexual experience. Some center on affectionate connection or being deeply seen. Others explore novelty, multiple partners, observation, roleplay, submission, dominance, or encounters that remain entirely imaginary. This breadth challenges the persistent assumption that women's desire is naturally uniform, primarily romantic, or legible through relationship status alone. The book does not replace one stereotype with a new ideal of sexual adventurousness. Its more useful implication is that no particular fantasy establishes maturity, liberation, health, or desirability. A wish for gentleness belongs in the same broad field of human imagination as a wish for intensity or transgression. The anthology also avoids treating sexual diversity as a set of isolated labels. In first-person letters, desire is embedded in mood, memory, self-image, longing, discomfort, and circumstance. That format shows why categories alone cannot capture what fantasies mean to their authors. For readers, the diversity can be validating, but its analytical value is equally important. It exposes how simplistic social narratives about women obscure differences in agency, appetite, vulnerability, and emotional need. The book presents plurality as its central finding, rather than seeking a tidy consensus. Thirdly, fantasy reveals emotional needs as well as erotic interests. Although Want is erotically explicit in subject matter, its contents are not limited to physical acts. Many of the desires described in the book concern recognition, safety, permission, acceptance, escape from routine, being wanted, or freedom from self-consciousness. This is one reason the anthology is more revealing than a catalog of scenarios. A fantasy may use a sexual situation to stage an emotional transformation the fantasist is admired without scrutiny, released from responsibility, able to surrender control, or finally able to ask for what is wanted. Such meanings do not make fantasy less sexual, nor do they turn every erotic wish into a hidden psychological diagnosis. Instead, they demonstrate that sexuality and emotional life are often intertwined. The book leaves room for pleasure that needs no justification while also acknowledging that shame, fear, loneliness, body image, and relational expectations can shape what feels exciting or safe. This complexity helps explain why an imagined experience may differ greatly from a real-world preference. Imagination can heighten vulnerability, risk, power, or anonymity precisely because actual circumstances would require care, communication, and limits. Readers who approach the letters with this distinction in mind can see them as accounts of inner possibility. The anthology resists the false choice between viewing desire as purely bodily and viewing it as only symbolic. Fourthly, consent and boundaries remain crucial when discussing imagined transgression. The book includes material involving power, submission, observation, strangers, and other situations that can be difficult to discuss in public. Its value lies partly in making room for these topics without collapsing fantasy into an ethical blueprint for real life. Desire can include imagined loss of control, prohibited situations, or asymmetrical power, while real encounters still require clear consent, respect, and the ability to set and revise boundaries. This distinction is especially important because public debate often treats fantasy in two unhelpful ways, either as proof of a person's intentions or as irrelevanto the values and communication needed in relationships. Want occupies a more complicated space. It shows that people may privately imagine scenarios that they would never seek to enact, or that they would only consider within carefully negotiated conditions. The letters can therefore prompt reflection on language, trust, and self-knowledge, rather than provide instructions. The anthology also makes visible how fear and shame may coexist with arousal, a fact that requires interpretive care rather than simplistic conclusions. Readers should not assume that a diverse collection of anonymous accounts delivers a universal account of consent practices. Still, its range helps clarify why mature sexual discussion needs to distinguish internal fantasy, mutual agreement, coercion, and personal limits. That distinction protects both freedom of imagination and the seriousness of real-world responsibility. Lastly, a modern response to silence around women's sexual expression. Want positions itself in conversation with Nancy Friday's My Secret Garden, a landmark earlier collection of women's fantasies. The comparison highlights both continuity and change. Women's private desires still attract judgment and may remain difficult to disclose, even in a culture saturated with sexual images and online discussion. At the same time, contemporary conversations offer broader language for identity, kink, non-monogamy, body autonomy, and consent than earlier popular treatments often did. Anderson's anthology is not a scientific survey, so it cannot establish how common any particular fantasy is or settle debates about gender and sexuality. Its significance is literary and cultural. It gathers personal testimony that public discourse often fragments into stereotypes, headlines, or clinical categories. The international scope further resists the idea that women share one social position, although a curated selection inevitably reflects editorial choices and the people willing to submit. The book is strongest when read as a collection of voices rather than a definitive map of female experience. Its format lets tensions remain unresolved. Desire may be joyful or uneasy, relational or solitary, conventional or unconventional, and still be worth articulating. By foregrounding voices that are often managed through shame or silence, Want argues for the importance of listening, without demanding that every account become exemplary, educational, or publicly defensible. In conclusion, Want will be most useful to adult readers interested in sexuality, gender, intimacy, and the private language desire. It may appeal to readers seeking a candid anthology of women's voices, as well as to book groups and students of cultural attitudes toward sexuality. Its practical benefit is not a set of techniques or relationship rules. Rather, the collection can support more careful reflection on the difference between fantasy and intention, on the role of shame in self-censorship, and on the importance of consent and communication when private desires enter shared relationships. Readers who want empirical conclusions should supplement it with sex research, since anonymous curated letters are not a representative study. That limitation is also part of the book's clarity. Its aim is testimony, not measurement. Compared with conventional erotic fiction, Want is distinguished by the documentary force of many distinct first-person accounts. Compared with self-help books, it is less prescriptive and more attentive to ambiguity. Compared with clinical studies, it preserves the texture of individual language and emotion, rather than converting experience into data points. Gillian Anderson's framing and the book's link to My Secret Garden place it within a recognizable lineage, but its contemporary, international collection gives it a different cultural context. Ultimately, it stands out for treating female fantasy as varied inner expression that can be heard, without being normalized into one story, moralized as a problem, or mistaken for a promise of action. If you would like to support Gillian Anderson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.